Okay, we'll try to do it as controversial as possible today. Now, I just want to preface, just because, in case you don't know me by now, I'm not a very political figure. I'm not such a, I don't like to cause controversy for the sake of controversy. But I do like to discuss controversial halachic topics. So I just want to preface that I will actually be giving you my own opinion on this, which is unusual, but that's only because I specifically asked Rabbi Willig about this issue straight up. So I feel comfortable to say something. I will pass on to you at the end what my Rabbi Willig Shlita said about such a topic. But to begin, we're going to do something which I like doing, and I'm going to put you on the spot. Raise your hand for the women in the room, okay? Raise your hand if you've ever answered to your husband's and two other men's Zimun, or another two men's Zim, three men's Zimun. Raise your hand if you've ever answered to a men's Zimun. So three men and you. Zimun is before the benching, your Rabosai Nivarech. Have you ever answered to that brunch? Okay. Not so controversial. Next question. The women in the room, have you ever made a women's Zimun, where three women who are eating together without men, or we'll make it even more controversial, without three men, so there could have been one or two men there, have you ever participated in a women's Zimun, in which the women do the same thing that the men do, and say, Rabosai Nevarech, raise your hand high, yes? We have two, three, four. So that's pretty good. That's more than a 50%.
Can I say something?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't think we ever sit down to have a meal with bread unless there were men around.
I hear that. That is a good point. Point taken. So let's say the men were there, but then the men left. Or there was one man around. So one man around, he's causing the bread. You have three women. And now the man is there or not there. We'll get to that at the end. But it's interesting, out of this room of about, I'd say, eight women, yeah, they would say, and more than 50% have raised their hand, that they have participated in this at least once. The question is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Don't worry, we'll find opinions for everything, so you don't have to be nervous. But the question is, what should you do? Practically, you have three women going out to eat or at their house, and they have bread, and there is bread being eaten. Zimun or no Zimun? And I'll make it a very practical question. In Shevach High School that my daughter's in, or Beis Yaakov of Queens, every meal you have girls that are over, you know, my daughter in the 8th grade at Beis Yaakov, or my daughter in 9th grade in Shevach. It's an all-girl meal. Every single day. And those girls are having bread. They are. New? Zimun or no Zimun? Should Beis Yaakov make an announcement on the loudspeaker when you bench, I'm assuming they remind them to bench, maybe not, I don't know. In camps, in schools, they always remind the boys to bench. I'm hoping that the girls get reminded to bench before they go upstairs. Assuming that that is the case, should the announcement be made to the 8th grade or to the high schools, make sure you make a Zimun. 30 girls, 50 girls are eating at the table. New? Yes or no? This is our question. Huh?
I'll ask my granddaughter.
Ask your granddaughter. It's going to be extremely controversial. So anyone anti-Zimun, anyone who raise their hand and say this is the most feministic thing they've ever heard in their entire life? Beis Yaakov made hold the way. Is Beis Yaakov correct? Is this a feministic thing which came up over the last 40 years? Or is this an 800-year-old minhag to do it? I am going to read you, this is very easy. I'm going to read you three lines of a Gemara, and from those three lines, three different Gemaras, one line each, and from those three Gemaras, I'm going to give you four different opinions. Of course. Okay? Line number one. It's a Mishnah. Nashim v'avad muktan, and we'll skip that part. Okay. Ein mizamnin aleihem. What does that literally mean? You can't make a Zimun on them or with them. Line number one. Yeah? Nashim Avadim uktanim, ein mizamnin alei. Okay. Gemara number one. And stop me, by the way, if I'm not translating a word clearly. Just ask me if I'm not being clear to give you a translation. Some of these words, I can't give you an explanation, but I can give you a translation. Nashim ein mizamnin alei. You don't make a zimin on them or with them. Okay. Gemara number one. Gemara number two, you simply turn the page, which says, Nashim mizamnos la'atzman. Women make a zimin, but la'atzman, for themselves. By themselves, for themselves. Women make a zimun for themselves. They should make a zimun for themselves. They're allowed to make a zimun for themselves. Line number two. Okay. Line number three is a Gemara in Erechin, which I don't have the actual, I just have notes over here. I'll read you a paraphrase of it. It says, Hakol chayovin bezimun. The Mishnah that there, I believe, is talking about everyone. Everyone. Is a woman in everyone? I hope so. Hakol chayovin bezimun. Everyone is obligated. Chayovin, obligated in zimun. Says the Gemara, why does it say this extra language of hakol, everyone? What's it coming to remind us or include? Says the Gemara, it's coming to include women. That women are, of course, included as well in this statement. Which, what's the statement? Everyone is obligated in zimun. You now have three sentences from three different places, which we need to put together. I'm going to repeat them just for 1 second because I can't remember. It's too early in the morning. Reason number one, statement number one is that women, avadim k'tanim, you don't include them or make, they're not part of izim. Statement number two is women make a zimin for themselves. Statement number three says everyone's obligated in zimun, including, says the Gemara, women as well. You had a question? Yes. Huh? Yes, all cases for sure. Yes, sorry. Zimun, of course, means you need three. So it would be three women. It would possibly be a mixture of men and women, or it would be three men. Okay. Nu, what do you get from these three Gemaras? Anyone want to take a stab what you think is the proper explanation of these three? Yeah? Okay.
If women are three themselves,
yeah, that gets
then,
yeah.
Then they can make a zimun.
Can or should?
They should make a zimun.
First he said can, then he said should.
So let's say, I
no. You got to take a stab, Shalom. Come on.
Should.
Yes or no?
Should.
So Shalom's interpreting these Gemaras as that women should.
And that under no circumstance.
Under no circumstance. Okay. Man, I mean three women, one man. But what about two women, two men?
No.
Yes, zimun or no zimun, Shalom? Two men, two women.
Because even if the women should be making zimun, it has to be lazim. It couldn't be four men. Right, the first one.
Yeah, first statement was, ein mizamnin alein. So what are you saying? That means that two men, two women, no. Okay. But what about three women, one man? What's the man supposed to do? Shalom, answer, walk out or no walk out? Yes or no? Come on, there's a lot of women that can get insulted if you say walk out. Say, maybe the answer is walk out. Okay. You should sit there. Well, that's in general, men should sit there and shut up. And let the, in general, that's for sure. We were told that quite clearly. But okay, let's say, but should he answer that answer? Okay. Opinion number one is an opinion brought down in the Mordechai. And Mordechai was 600, 700 years ago. He writes that women and men can combine for a zimun. Two women, two men can make a zimun. The Gemara said, first line was, Ein mizamnin alein. That meant, if it wasn't related to the person, if it would be unsnius, or that would mean perhaps that it was maybe if it's avodim and women, that would be inappropriate to have an eved with a woman, but a regular man, especially if they're related and there's no snius issue, you have a man, a wife, and a child, there's no issue. Why can't they make a zimun? You have a family sitting around a table, a husband, a wife, and an older daughter. Why can't you make a zimun? Why can't I make a zimun in my house? It's not on snius. I talk a little bit in my house. You know, usually I get the eye rolls, but anything I say at this point, I have three teenage daughters who roll their eyes, obviously. But still, why can't I make a zimun? Yeah. No, I'm saying even if there was only two men and two women. Meaning, for sure, according to this... Oh, no, I didn't mean that. Two men, one woman, one woman. No, that was just thinking. Two women, one man, two men, one woman, or two men, two women. Doesn't make a difference. Any combination of three adult individuals would be fine, according to this Mordechai. Or Benini, quoted in the Mordechai. No, doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. Why not? According to this... Now, to be clear... This opinion is not brought down in halakha at all by anyone. But it was a full disclosure. Opinion number one. Opinion number two is the opposite extreme. Of course, men and women can combine with two and one, or one and two, or two and two can combine for a zimun. That goes without saying. According to opinion number two, which is Tosa's opinion. But women... Anytime they answer to Zeman, it's always only optional. Meaning, three men, one woman, if she wants to answer, answer. If she doesn't want to answer, don't answer. Do you have to wait for her to come into the room? You should for other reasons, but not for any halachic basis of Zeman. Women are always rishus. Always optional. Okay? Now, how come the Gemara said, "Akol chayovin"? Everyone was obligated, and we said, even women? That just means women can do it. It doesn't mean that they're obligated to do it. Chayov means obligated. Okay, no. Opinion number two. That is the opposite extreme. First one was pro. Second one is completely anti. Option number three, says the Rush, is women are obligated to make a zimun when they are by themselves. 100% obligated. You hear me? Three women eating by themselves must make a zimun the same exact way that three men eating by themselves must make a zimun. That's what it means. Nashim mizamnos la'atzman. Women make a zimun by themselves. They don't combine with men. Two men, two women, according to this opinion, would not be allowed to make a zimun, but three women eating by themselves, or even if there's one man there as well, they're obligated to make a zimun. Opinion number three. Comes along with Shulchan Aruch and gives you opinion number four. And this is how we follow. No? Anyone have any ideas where we're going with this? Got to split a lot of hairs here to make this all good. Says Shulchan Aruch, I'll read it to you. You tell me what you think. He writes, Nashim mizamnos la'atzman rishus. If three women are eating by themselves, they have the option to make a zimun. They're not obligated, they have the option. Avol kisha ochos ima nashim, but if there are three men and one woman, or 15 women, but there are three men, chayavos, then the women must participate in the zimun. They must. They can't say, oh, I don't do this stuff. Three men are having a zimun, all the women must participate V'yotzos b'zimun shalanu. And they'll answer to ours. So says Shulchan Aruch, this is how we paskin. If you have 3 men and 15 women, or 5 women, those women must come to the table and participate zimun. Now I'm going to ask the women, do you always listen to the zimun of men that is being made? And you're going to say, yeah, okay, yes. You're going to say, sometimes no. I don't know. Sometimes not. Yeah, exactly. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, says the Shevet HaLevi. First, Shevet HaLevi gives the Tish example, of course, all relevant to us. What do the Hasidim do? After they finish the meal, they finish the meal at the Rebbe's Tish. So they run out before they bench to go run to the Rebbe's Tish. They go to the Rebbe's Tish, they leave the women at home, and they bench at the Rebbe's Tish. Says the Shevet HaLevi, but if you got 3 men at home, Chassidim have 20 kids, you know, so they, all of these boys, right? You're leaving the women hanging without a zimun. So says the Shevet HaLevi, nah, the women never intended, they never had in mind to be yotze, the meal only goes at the end, and by the end they're by the Rebbe's Tish, so that's fine for the women. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, not so fast. That works on a weekday. On a weekday, everyone's always bustling around. So maybe you could say, the women aren't really part of the table, they're always taking care of their husbands. In my case, my wife's completely taking care of me, and all my kids, I'm just sitting there, one of the kids sitting at the table, my wife's bustling around. And if that's the case, says Rav Moshe, maybe they never have in mind to combine with the zimun. But that only works, says Rav Moshe, during the week. On Shabbos, you have a family meal, there's a whole group meal, it's a set meal, that doesn't work. So if you take one thing out of this chabura, women must, according to Shulchan Aruch, answer to a man's zimun. If there are 3 men having a zimun, don't forget about the women. You better make sure, and I try to do this, that you call your wife back in and that she's sitting or listening to the zimun that is being made. But that's not what you wanted to come here for. You want the controversial thing. Why does or doesn't Beis Yaakov announce that there should be a women's zimun? So you're going to tell me, oh, because Shulchan Aruch only said it was optional. Okay, we're good Jews. We like doing things that are only optional, no? You for sure do. No, you're a Erechayid. Says the Vilna Gaon, I paskin like the Rosh. It's obligatory for women to make a zimun by themselves. Vilna Gaon ain't any liberal, no? Says the Vilna Gaon, citing the Be'er Halacha, we actually follow the other opinion, that they're obligated. So I ask you now, why do 3 women, why doesn't Beis Yaakov announce by every single meal, the women must make a zimun? New? And the Vilna Gaon says it's a chiyuv. And we follow a lot of things. And even if it's a rishus, it's not usur. And so if there are some opinions, this is basic cost-benefit analysis. Some rabbis say it's obligatory. Some say they can. So what should Beis Yaakov teach? I assure you Beis Yaakov teaches many things which are not obligatory. And I'll give you a good example. Tu B'Shvat. Eating fruit on Tu B'Shvat is like Yarok V'Yavar. But we gave 2 chaburas on Shabbos. And it's not so Yarok V'Yavar. It's not like you die if you don't have a fruit on Tisha B'Av. Yeah? Sorry. I messed up. So if it's not like you die if you don't have a fruit on Tu B'Shvat, right? It's not like you burn in the depths of Gehenim. Yet these schools are so makbid on Tu B'Shvat. Okay, so why don't you makbid about Zeman? The Vilna Gaon, arguably one of the most prominent posts in the last 300 years, says you're obligated. So does the Rosh. Like we saw, who's the progenitor of all minhagim of Ashkenaz for the most part. New? So why not? Okay. I don't have any good answers for you, but now I'll give you some controversy. Okay, let's hear. Okay, so now I'm going to read you a yeshivish shamar makam. Okay? See if I could pull this up from my email over here. Sent myself some notes. Okay. So you have Rev Sternbach, who is the head of the Edech Haredis in Eretz Yisrael. So let's just frame the picture of what we're talking about over here. And he says, now, to make it more gishmak, he is a great-great-great-grandson of the Vilna Gaon and has wrote Svarim adopting all the practices of the Vilna Gaon. So if you had to pick one Rosh Yeshiva who would be the pro-women Zimun by themselves, you would have said, it's Rav Sternbach. So he says, I'll give you a couple of reasons why no. It's a little bit strong. This is his language. Okay. It's not political. Yeah? Number one, he says, it's haughty for women to do this without explaining why. Okay. Number two, he says, since some women don't do this, for other women to do it would cause like two groups in Klal Yisrael, and we don't like to make different groups. Reason number two. Then he says, Zimun involves a bracha. And we don't like to say extra brachos if unnecessary. The problem is there's no real bracha in the Zimun. So it's a little bit hard. So therefore he writes, he concludes, women should not make a Zimun. I'll tell you what he says. He says, Ve'enu en lefakfek b'minig Yisrael. Don't doubt the common custom, which is not to make a Zimun. And therefore he says, even though my Zayda, you know, the Vilna Gaon said you should, he said, if someone teaches their daughters to make a Zimun in their house, yodam ala tachtona, which I think means they're doing the wrong thing. It's the wrong thing to do. Comes out very hard to understand, no? The Vilna Gaon said it's obligatory. We got to move on. Ready? I got more liberal opinions for you. One second. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
About the women that are benching anybody?
100%. 100%. Yeah. It's hard. Says, not the minute. Comes along Rabbi Ari Zivotofsky. It's a very big Talmud Chacham, who writes in the OU column, if that people have seen. He writes, everybody forget what his column is called, but he always writes controversial topics. And he has this English article, which he wrote in 1999. And I have the original article for you, and I'm going to read to you, but I have in my notes that there was follow-up letters to the editor. And then when I tried to go to OU website, I couldn't get those letters. Someone knows how to maneuver the OU website. They have a lot of archives, but they don't have the letters from some editions. So you're going to have to trust my notes, and I couldn't even look it up to verify. Again, when I prepared this a few years ago, I'm going to tell you what these notes say. Okay. Rabbi Ari Zivotofsky writes, he concludes that, read you the good line, he says, there is no halachic opinion that prohibits women from forming a zimun, and many options require it, he says. He says, in addition, if three or more women form a zimun, there is no reason why one or two men who are present cannot remain and answer to this zimun. Pretty radical, no? And he quotes, this is according to Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach. Have you ever heard of Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach? No liberal either, no? He says, that's the pshat. He says it's also found in the son-in-law of Reb Yashav, Reb Zilberstein. And he writes that, quotes this Rav Shlomo Pick, that he personally asked Rav Arbach, who praised this practice, and Rav Yashav told him to stay and answer to a women's zimun. He quotes Rav Frimmer, who having discussed with Ryan Lichtenstein, who agreed, and stated that this was his father-in-law's opinion, Rav Soloveitchik as well. The above hold that men should answer with the usual response. He then quotes Rev David Cohn of the Gvul Yaivitz from Flatbush, the head of OL, the Posik of OL, world-renowned, and also a Chavrusa for 60 years with Mr. Isaacson. Yeah? And he writes like this. He says that Gvul Yaivitz and Rev David Feinstein, Rav Moshe Feinstein's son, say the man should answer, but they should say a special nusach, which they would say if they weren't eating. He comes out as if it's a no-brainer, that women are making a zimun, and not only that, men are answering. So I have in my notes that the Gvul Yaivitz, and to ask him, Mr. Eisen, next time I see him, I'm going to ask him to ask him the Cohen to confirm him. I have in my notes that the Gvul Yaivitz of David Cohen wrote to the OU a letter to the editor saying that's not his practical opinion. That may be true in halacha, but I have in my notes, my notes are 10 years old, so you have to bear with me. I may have been more and more yeshivish at that point. But I'll tell you what I wrote. I have in my notes that he wrote, because of feminism, we don't encourage this practice. I wanted to try to find it. I couldn't get on you. I'll tell you what I have in my notes. It's from a letter to the editor from winter of 1999, the OU Jewish Action. So anyone keeps all the old Jewish actions, you got to check it up. So you got to call it. So online they have archives, they don't have that edition. They're missing some editions. So they seem to be missing that edition. So you got to check up that edition. And apparently Rabbi Zivotofsky wrote back in summer of 2002. He wrote his own letter to the editor. I guess this went on for a couple of years. And this, he said, a story that happened that he heard from Rav Teitz of Elizabeth. That when Rav Teitz was a younger man, he was at his grandmother, one Rebbetz in Prale, in Ponovich or Bnei Brak. And the women made a zimun there. And he was there. And he wasn't asked to leave. Okay, but still, Ponovich. But he's saying a story about Ponovich. Fine, forget about his own personal opinion. But in Ponovich is the last place you would expect the women's lib movement to have reached. Yeah, it's not liberal. It's halacha. Why not? The Vilna Gaon says you're chayiv. Okay. That's the controversy. To conclude, so I was very excited about this. About 16 years ago. And I went to my Rebbe, Rabbi Willig, and I said to him, so he knows his halachas, but I started saying to him, the Vilna Gaon says you're chayav. And I was right when I was married, I said, okay, my wife's going to have sometimes friends over. Make a zimun. Sounds great. And Willig said to me, no, it's not the minig. Don't do it. You should not do it. So that's psak for me. I didn't bug him at that point. Why? I think based on there's a lot of reasons. A, hasn't been the minhag for many years. So to start it now may have other implications or other reasons why it's being started. Perhaps also I heard Rabbi Leibowitz seems to quote, and I saw obviously quotes from Wilgen Amordechai, which I checked it up, seems to say it may not be a good combination since it's true, women are always running around and they're not really sitting. In my house, my wife never sits for more than 30 seconds. And if so, even that, it's usually with a kid on her arm the kids don't want to come to me ever. And so anyway, you know, so if that's the case, there's never any real combination of people sitting together, women sitting together. And maybe that doesn't create that combination nowadays. It's hard. I'll be honest, it's hard. And I bugged him because the Vilna Gaon, citing the Mishnah Berurah, says it's a chiyuv. If it's a chiyuv, why not? Clearly the minhag of Klal Yisrael, Beis Yaakov's, at least of yeshivish places, is Beis Yaakov's. They don't make any zimun at all. If you Google it, you could find Jofa's website, says all these stories about women making zimuns. I don't know. Does it become a liberal thing? Does it become a feministic thing? Does it become a halachic thing? There's definitely a halachic basis for it, but it hasn't been done. Could have been it wasn't done because women didn't have an education up until 150 years ago or whatever it was. And if that's the case, they didn't know how to make a zimun. 300 years ago, probably no woman knew how to make a zimun. Probably men didn't know how to make a zimun 300 years ago, many as well. I'm not sure. Clearly, my minhag in my house happens every Shabbos. I've got three girls in my house. We're over bas mitzvah, two daughters and my wife. We don't make a zimun. So I'm losing out, according to the Vilna Gaon, of a zimun, which according to many poskim of Shlomo Zalman, I could have participated in. So I'm losing out the special power of a zimun, but clearly I have psak. There's not many things I have a clear remembrance. Rabbi Willig saying, I have it in my notes from 10 years ago. I remember where I was standing when Rabbi Willig told me this because I had discussed him. I didn't bug him enough for the reason, but next time I speak to him, usually every few weeks or a few months, I'll try to follow up this point, but it seems pretty clear. My minhag, if you ask me what to do, I would tell you not women should not make a zimun, but they should answer to a men's zimun, which is taking place. Shkoyach.